Hi everyone, my name's May, I'm an addict. I'm nervous, I'm really nervous. I'm nervous and excited at the same time, really am. But I'm always nervous before I do a chair. There's something about getting vulnerable and honest in front of people or out in the public that really frightens me. And that's okay, that's why I used. You know, I needed that buffer between me and you. But I just want to say, if you're new to NA, welcome. Welcome. We have been thinking about you. That moment of silence that we have at the beginning was about you, right? So welcome and thank God that you're here. I need you and I'm grateful that you're here. I think it's really important to start with that. And also, so our message, the message of Narcotics Anonymous, is of hope and freedom. A promise you can live a life free from active addiction a day at a time. Right? That's it. That's the message of Narcotics Anonymous. What I'm going to share about is my experience on how I got clean and my recovery and the journey, if I have enough time. That's what I make up. But you know, when I actually do a chair, it's not me. I always pray before and ask my higher power to carry a message. Because if it was about me, I'd tell you all egoic things, right? Because my self-esteem is still that low sometimes. Okay, so a little bit of background on me. So I'm mixed race. My mother's Indian and my dad's from Barbados. They didn't abandon me at birth, but they gave me up. So I was already born into something that I felt very uncomfortable in, and I didn't have a voice. I don't remember that. This is something I'm making up, right? But this is what I imagine happened. Then I was in foster care from 0 to 5, and I was abused sexually, physically, all that kind of stuff. You know, and that's painful, right? That's hard, it's difficult. And I was adopted when I was 5. And I can remember meeting with my adoptive mother and saying, what do I call you? And she said, Mum. And I just felt really uncomfortable. And as you can see what my skin tone is like. My mum, my adoptive mum, who I call Mum, she is dark, she's black, you know. So I already instantly felt different. Now, what I'm telling you is a story. It's all a story, yeah? I've come to realise later on that I was actually obsessed with how I felt, and I didn't know it, but I felt different. I felt different, I felt uncomfortable, and I wasn't able to say this, you know? So what did I do? So I acted out my feelings, you know? I stole. How does a 5-year-old child instinctively know how to steal? You know, there's something fundamentally wrong with that, right? You know, and I was the kid at school that would steal from your lunchbox. I was always in trouble with the headmistress. I was always up to no good, you know. And because I felt there was something wrong with me, I kind of confirmed it by behaving in this way and being told that there's something wrong with me. Why can't I be like this person? Why can't you be like that person? Why are you doing these things? My mum would say that to me and I'd say, I don't know. And I didn't know. And so therefore, I'm confirming this feeling that there is something wrong with me. I carried shame. I carried a lot of shame, you know, because my mum, she did the best she could. You know, in hindsight, I can see it now. But she did the best she could. I was a kid at school with those flipping plimsolls, man. Everyone had their Reeboks. It was Reebok Classics, my day. Reeboks and, you know, and the Alessi. Remember the Alessi? Oh, my God. So they were, and Kappa. Oh. They were wearing all that, and there's me in my high techs, man, and the plimsoll. So I felt shame. I didn't know that the shame I was experiencing was because I was sexually abused, and I just felt like there was something wrong. I didn't know that, but you know, everything I saw was based on that. And I really need to emphasize that it was the way that I felt. It may not have even happened, but it's what I believe. It's what I internalized growing up. You know, because I had friends, man. I had friends at school, and there's me feeling like I don't fit in, yet I've got a group of friends that I just, right? Something fundamentally wrong with the way that I think, okay? And I don't say that in a punishing way. I say that with so much compassion, knowing what I suffer with today. So naturally, when I went to secondary school, I got kicked out in the second year, man. You know, I was all over the place. The hormones kicked in, and it was just madness, and I wanted to get away from home. I felt that, you know, this thing about our promise is freedom. I always wanted freedom. I wanted freedom from everything, everyone. I just wanted to escape. You know, I would be fantasizing, looking out of the window, wishing that I wasn't in school, wishing I wasn't at home. You know, and my mum's way of punishing me was to beat me. And I hated, resentment. My first resentment was that. So I just wanted to get away, and I did. When I got kicked out of school, I ran away from home. I was 13 years old on the streets of Camden Town, homeless, well, intentionally homeless. And I thought, yes, this is great. It's really, really sad, you know. And walking around here, you know, Leicester Square, I used to come down to Leicester Square. There used to be a place called Trocadero. Mm-hmm. And we used to go there to look for Mandem. We called it Mandem back then. And I used to speak like that to fit in, you know. But that's what I would do, and I'd go into the clubs, and, you know, I was 13 years old, and I'd go into the clubs and be, you know, trying to have sex with these men, and it was like, oh my God, I was so much pain to actually do that. But my messages, the messages I was hearing, there's something wrong with you, you're bad, what, you know, no one ever told me what I was suffering with. So when I the first drug I took was alcohol, and I loved it. I loved it, and it was great because I could escape even more. Some people use to feel. Some people use not to feel. I used not to feel. I used for oblivion, man. I just wanted to escape, right? So I loved it. I could escape, you know, smoking weed with the mandem, all that stuff, all that kind of stuff. And that's where it began. Well, who knows where it began? But I tell you what, that's where my drug use began, and it just escalated from there. I ended up prostituting myself to get another fix. That was my using. I was one of these crack addicts in the crack house who would look down her nose at women and think, how can you do that? You know, they'd smoke when they're pregnant. I think, oh, you're disgusting. Meanwhile, I've just come back in from seeing a punter. I haven't washed for weeks, and I'm judging her. Anyway, the shame that I felt when I started to do that. You know, like I said, I had these beliefs, there's something wrong with me. This was just confirming it. You know, I hated myself. Look at who I'd become. I'd become one of them. You know, one of them. And as for the junkies, ugh. Next thing you know, I'm smoking B. I'm smoking heroin. B. If God, that just came out. Wow. It doesn't go anywhere, does it? So, you know, and I didn't just do that the once, by the way. I say that it's important for me to share this with the women, you know, because I don't really hear it that often. I did it time and time again. There was a time when I left my children in the hospital to go and use. I gave birth to one of my babies, and I left her to go and use. My family had come from London to Newport, because that's where I was living at the time, and I left them all there because I just needed to get away. It was so painful. By this point, the drugs had stopped working. Were they working to begin with? Who fucking knows? But, I wasn't getting high anymore. All I was left with was pain, and it was awful, but I couldn't stop. I'd go to prison. I'd get a little bit of a respite. You know, I look back now, and, you know, my step two, my higher power's been looking after me the whole time. Those times when I got arrested and I got locked up and all that kind of stuff, I was at death's door. I'm going to die, you know. Anyway, but I'd come out and I'd start using again. I'd go to the community drug and alcohol places, and they'd give me those sheets of paper with the cycle of change. I don't know if you've come across it, you know, and I think, oh my God, you know, I'd sit there, how do I get into the action phase? I want to do it. And then I'd go and use. And I think, what the hell is this? I can't, what's going on? There's something wrong with me. Anyway, this kept going on and going on, and I think it's really important. I remember my darkest moment, because that's what they taught me to do in treatment. My darkest moment, it's 4 o'clock in the morning in Newport, South Wales, right? Newport, South Wales, if anyone knows it, no one's on the streets at 4 o'clock in the morning. But I'm out with my prostitute clothes on, trying to look for a punter. It's freezing cold. It's the middle of January. There's snow on the floor. I've got holes in my shoes. I haven't washed for days. And I'm walking around thinking, when is this going to stop? When is this going to be over? I have had enough. Right? Thank you. And I cried out. I cried out. They call it the gift of desperation. I love that. I was desperate. I've always been desperate. I was desperate for a fix, and now I was desperate for something else. And I got arrested for some burglaries, another thing I said I wasn't going to do. And It was in prison the last time I got introduced to this. It was the first time someone told me what was actually going on with me. I told you that my whole life I believed that I'm bad, there's something wrong with me, bad things always happen, all those core beliefs that came up in my form. But I got told I've got the disease of addiction, and I'm so grateful for that. I'm so grateful for that, because I got clean. I never thought I'd get clean. No one around me got clean. Everyone just carried on using, or they went to prison and came out. It was that cycle. Cycle of change, oh my God. But it was that cycle. So that's where my recovery journey began. And I tell you what, recovery can be painful sometimes. Recovery can be very painful sometimes. And oh my God. So for my first year of recovery, I was on that pink cloud, and I was doing other fellowships, man, because, you know, I thought I knew better. I wasn't hearing in the reading that these are the principles that made our recovery possible. This is how my disease is arrested at some point and recovery is then possible. My disease is not arrested anywhere else rather than Narcotics Anonymous. That's my experience, but it took me 2 years to find that out. It took me ages because I was just desperate for something. And I was also perpetuating my trauma. I always felt like I never fitted in. I'd go to these other fellowships and feel like I never fitted in there either. So there was something in that, you know. But that came further along the line of doing a lot of therapy that and all kind of stuff. But I'm a grateful addict. And they say a grateful addict never relapses. And why wouldn't I be grateful? Today I see two of my children. I've worked through the steps and I've come to understand why I used, you know, and this stuff doesn't go anywhere. I'm currently in something, I'm practicing a step 9 because I did something, I behaved in a certain way. It's about a relationship. I'm not going to go into it because there's not enough time. But, you know, it's constant growth and it's constantly beautiful. So I just want to say to you, I never thought I could get clean. I never thought it would be possible for an addict like me to get clean and to live and to walk in the sunshine without covering my head or feeling angry because I just hated everything. I hated myself. And it's not like that today. Sometimes. Because the truth is, I've got the illness, I've still got the disease of addiction, man, and things come up and it's like, okay, what do I need to do? And that's where my 1, 2, 3 comes in, right, and my 11 and 12. But yeah, you know what? Thank you. I was so nervous at the beginning and I'm so grateful my higher power gave what he wanted to give. I'm grateful to be here and I'm grateful to be clear. Thank you. Thank you.